going on. The Jews did not like Jesus, all right? They didn't like Jesus because he claimed to be God. He never walked out and said, I'm God. But the way he teachings, they got upset with him. And the Rome didn't like him because, well, he's causing riots. The Jews are getting mirror fighting. They're yelling at one another. They're afraid of revolt. They're afraid of anarchy in the city. And so he has all this stuff going on. See, Jesus was controversial. And what's amazing to me is, guess what? He's still controversial today. As a pastor, I hear statements like this. You know, I'm okay with Jesus. It's the church that I have a problem with. You know, I'm okay with Jesus, but you know, it's those Christians. You know, they're just judgmental and they're hypocrites. And I'm okay with Jesus, but... And yet when you say the word Jesus in public, you get in trouble. Some people, you, in your job place, if you were to say something about Jesus at work, you might get written up. Is that true? We say we're okay with Jesus, and yet we're really not. I Googled the other day, prayer for Little League. I couldn't believe how many websites or how many blogs or how many people were commenting on, you shouldn't be forced to listen to a... Well, it's offensive. Is Jesus' name offensive today? As we look around, you know, and you think about, you know, you can't pray, you can't use Jesus' name. I watch a show called Duck Dynasty. Come on, anybody? Duck Dynasty? All right. I got some Duck Dynasty fans out there. They end the show at Duck Dynasty. Now, you need to know, I didn't watch it till about the third season. It's like, I don't want to watch these guys, you know. I don't have that kind of money. Why would I want to watch them? You know? But at the end of the show, I started watching. At the end of the show, they do a prayer. And they close with the prayer, and he closes his prayer with, in Jesus' name. Every episode. But you know, when they first started showing, they had some problems with that. They weren't sure if they were going to put that on there. See, we look at our world today, and they say, well, Jesus is okay, but they're really not okay with Jesus. He's still a problem. He's still a controversy. There's still things going on. Why? That's what I was wondering. Why does everybody get hung up on Jesus? What's the problem when you talk about Jesus? Why is the world afraid when we say, in Jesus' name, amen? Why is the world afraid when we have a poster that says Jesus, or you're at work and you talk about Jesus to a coworker? Why are they afraid? I think they're afraid because there's more to Jesus than Jesus. There's more to Jesus than just a man. Because see, Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God. See, when Jesus died on the cross, there was many people around. Some of them was a Roman soldier. And they divided up his clothes. If you're familiar with the story, they gambled for his clothes. They didn't want to rip them apart, so they cast lots and did all sorts of things, pierced Jesus in his side. They were all there. But when Jesus died on the cross, something happened. I want you to look at what the centurion said. Get your little outline out. You can follow along with this outline right here. Just see what this centurion said. I want you to hear his words. Listen to what he said here. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Why don't you underline that? This was the Son of God. See, I think the reason Jesus is so controversial, even today, is because he's the Son of God. If he was just a man who died, was thrown in some tomb, I don't think anybody would care. What's the big deal? But he's not just a guy who died and was thrown in a tomb. He's a guy who died, thrown in a tomb, that rose 3 days later. See, that changes things. That puts a different spin on. See, I think the world is afraid of this because he's God. See, the Jews were upset because Jesus came in and upset their religiosity. Let me put it that way. I don't know if that's a word or not. I'm going to use it. All right. They had a religion. We do this, and then we do this, and you got to wash your hands this way, and you can't walk more than this on Friday night, and on Saturday you don't do any, don't wash those dishes on Saturday. They had all these rules, and they made this religion. Upset with Jesus because Jesus comes in and said, hey man, it's not about a religion anymore, guys. It's never been about religion. It's always been about a relationship with God. And the Jews got upset. And then Rome's in there, and they're afraid of their authority. Yeah. We got to keep peace. You know, Pilate and Judas and all of those rulers in the time there, we got to keep peace here. And if they start causing trouble, we're going to lose our authority. And so we got to squash this Jesus thing so we have peace. So people are afraid of Jesus. I think that's true today. People are afraid of God because we got our religious comfort. Or maybe you're afraid of God because I got to give up authority in my life. Or I got to live by all these rules. You know, you go to a church and got all these rules. I know I remember people coming to the church here years ago. We talked about, what are the rules for this church? I got a rule book for the church. You know that? I got a rule book. It's in my hand. I don't have any. There's no rules for this church. I'm going to go, you know, well, what does the Bible say? You ask me a question, my question is going to be to you. What does the Bible say? You know, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about authority. It's about, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. I'm giving you authority in my life. I think that's why the world's afraid of Jesus. We don't want to give up authority. I like my life. I don't want, you know, even when my life's messed up, it's mine. We grow up. How many of us grew up as teenagers? I can't wait to be an adult. I can do what I want. Then you get to be an adult. Do you ever get to do what you want? Then you get married. I guarantee you don't get to do what you want. See, my wife's not in here. I can say that. You know, I'm kidding. I love my wife. I love my marriage. 40 years coming up. You know? So God is, you know, we have this battle. You know? Because religion, you know, and authority, and it hasn't changed. Jesus has always been a conqueror. So when somebody tells me, well, you know, Jesus is okay, but I'm not sure about Christians and the church, I'm going to say, you really don't think Jesus is okay. Because for me, the church is Jesus. That's all I want. I have nothing to say if I don't talk about Jesus. But I wonder, you know, again, I'm kind of wondering, you know, because here, think about it. Jesus is crucified, they die, he dies, they throw him in a tomb. Now, just kind of give you a little picture here. They prepared him. Joseph of Arimathea and his friend, the Pharisee, prepared Jesus. They put him in a tomb, okay? Guys, put him in the tomb. Guess who shows up at the tomb the next morning? It wasn't guys, because the guys can't get it right. It was the ladies, you know. They buried him, but we got to go make sure it's done right. Anybody? You know, we got to go fix this. You know? And so they go there to fix it. But I can imagine again, you know, what it must have been like. Here Mary walks up to him. You know, they got their smartphone. She pulls it out, walks up to him. How are we going to open the tomb? You know, who's going to roll the rock away? There's soldiers there. Maybe we convince them. All this going on. And they get there and Mary turns around and takes, you know, sends it back to Peter. Peter, what's going on? It's empty. Yeah. I could see, you know, others, you know, Snapchat stuff. Somebody stole him. Do you know where they hid him? You know, we got to fix this. You know, I could just see this going on. But it boils down to me to this question. Because they weren't resurrected Jesus Christ. This is something to think about. Easter Sunday morning, the first Easter Sunday morning, they were not looking for a living Jesus. They went looking for a dead man. Think about that. I got up this morning looking for a living Jesus at the sunrise service, you know? So here's the question. What sort of man is this? You know? Yeah, I think she'd probably add that. You know, what sort of man is this? You know? What kind of guy is this? You know, we followed him. We walked with him. We heard him. We seen him. He taught. He did miracles. But we watched him die. Dead. I mean dead. He's not asleep. He's not passed out. He is dead. 3 days dead. But he's alive. What sort of man is this? See, that's the question. Because he's not a man. He's God. See, that's the question we have to answer. That's why Jesus is controversial today. People are afraid to say that Jesus is God. Because if you say Jesus is God, then you got to make a decision about your life. Am I right? You got to choose. If you're going to willing to say Jesus is God, because here's your choice. You take the Bible, you got three choices. Either Jesus is a liar, and he just flat out lied for 3.5 years. He's a lunatic, and he was out of his mind. Or he truly is the Son of God. And that's why he's a controversy. That's why you can't run around and say Jesus all the time, because somebody's going to think you're weird. Well, we got to have separation of church and state. See, the world hasn't changed. I mean, if you really think about it, think about this. It's the same world as it was in the first century. The Jews were up Jesus. The Roman government was upset with Jesus. Does it sound any different today? What sort of man is this? So here's what I want to dwell on this morning. See, I want you to know Jesus was God. Flat out. Because I want to answer that for you. I want you to know Jesus was God. And you got to answer that. What sort of man? Is he or isn't he? But not only was he God, he was a man. This is, I always think like this. Anybody ever see that thing that E equals MC squared? Anybody ever see that? Now, does anybody ever understand that? Anybody? Now, I looked it up. What it says is this. Energy is equal to mass times the square root of the speed of light. Okay? Now, what does that mean? You know, I have no... And so when I'm sitting there saying, well, God is 100% man and 100% God, I don't get that either. Okay? I don't. Just like I don't get it. But I believe Newton's law is right. We went to the moon and back. That sounds pretty good to me. You know? And I'm going to believe Jesus is God. So let me give you some things here to kind of nail this down. Some things to kind of put it in perspective. Just so you know, there was really and truly a man named Jesus in the first century. Most scholars, if they're honest with themselves, will tell you there was a man named Jesus. Yeah. Now, they might not like everything else, but they'll admit Jesus was it in that first century. They'll even go as far as say his baptism and his crucifixion are probably facts. Most of the scholars will admit that. Classical scholars will admit that. Biblical scholars guarantee admit that. And he was there. There was a man named Jesus who walked this earth. You can read him in a Roman history. A Roman historian named Tacitus wrote about Jesus. A Jewish historian named Josephus wrote about Jesus. We have 4 biographies of Jesus. You need to know. I always get, you know, people say, this is a book. Let me tell you, this is 66 books. But really, it's not 66 books. There's a few books in there and a lot of letters. All right? And we got 4 biographies. 4 guys, Matthew, Luke, and John, over 50 years wrote those books. And they're different. And so we have all this evidence that there was a Jesus. But my question is he God? Does anybody read Josephus talk about the resurrection and the trouble that's causing? And Josephus, it's really interesting to see history. But I want to ask you, what sort of man is this? Is he God? Are you willing to say he's God, or is he just going to be a controversy for you that you can't settle in your heart, in your life? I want to say he's God. I think I got 5 things here to say Jesus is God. The first one is this. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is the great I am. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it really is. Anybody ever see the movie 10 Commandments? You notice I didn't watch anybody ever read the Bible about the 10 Commandments. You notice that? I didn't ask that one. You know, I said, did you see the movie Ten Commandments? You know, but we had that movie Ten Commandments. But the Bible is—it's just so you know—the script for that movie is in the Bible. All right, the screenplay is in the Bible. All right, you know, and you can—and in that script and in the Bible, as it's talking about it, Moses is having that experience with God at the burning bush. And as he's standing at the burning bush, and God's saying, Moses, I need you to go back. And Moses saying, I don't want to go back. They have this conversation. In the midst of that conversation, Moses is saying, well, who am I going to say sent me? You know, what's your name? Tell me your name. And God says, my name is I Am. That's my name. I Am. And so choose God's name is I Am. And here Moses, here Jesus comes along thousands of years later, and he goes around in the Gospel of John seven times tells the people, I am. You think that ticked the Jews off? Oh, you bet your bottom dollar. I'm not a gambling man. No. But yeah, I mean, there he's claiming to be God. He's taking the name of God. He's saying he's God. I'm the I seven times. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the resurrection. He goes on seven of these through the Gospel of John. I picked one of them to show you. This is John 14:6. Oh, man, I missed a whole lot, didn't I? Oh, man, I have to come back. You have to catch up with me. All right. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth. See, this is what makes Jesus merciful. For me to stand here before you and tell you there is one way to God. There's all sorts of churches and all sorts of religions out there. But there is one way to God, and it is Jesus Christ. See how controversial that is? But if he's God, my name, I am God, and I'm the way to God. Get the picture? I'm the way to God. Way to God. See, he is the I am. We need to see that. Here's the next one I put down here. Jesus has always existed. Jesus has no beginning and no end. All right? I love Awana. Anybody in Awana? Come on. Anybody in Awana? I love one of the memory verses in Awana we taught the kids. It's right here. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the Word, just so you know, put Jesus in there. You can just cross out Word and put Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. You can just cross Word out and put Jesus there. Jesus did not and was not created. Jesus always was. All right? Make sure you get this picture. Jesus always was. He was always there. He was there when God created. One of the great things, now, those who have been in the church a while that know English is not my top subject, okay? Math is probably my worst subject. I'm really low. But I do know this. Your noun and your verb must agree, right? Is that English? Am I right? The noun and the verb tenses must agree. What's interesting, when you read that first book of the Bible, it's called Genesis. It goes like this. And we is going to create. See, the word for God in the book of Genesis, those first chapter, is Elohim. It's plural. It's God's. But the verb is singular. Is. God's is creating. Now, who's the God's? It's only one God because we practice the Trinity. It is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see the picture? He's God. He was there. I want to make sure when my Awana class that I was leading at the time, I wanted to make sure the kids knew Jesus was never created. Jesus always was. God created angels. God created the world. God created you and I. You need to know. I think every birth is a creation of God, okay? You might think I'm crazy, but I believe that when a child is born, God breathes into the nostrils the breath of life into every child. That's my belief. We're all created by God. Your mom and dad might have had a part in it, but I'm going to tell you, you're the result of God. But Jesus never had that. Jesus always was. Now, here's the key to in a little while as we go through the message this morning. Jesus always was God, but he became human. There's a difference. Jesus always existed. The second thing I put here is this. Jesus knows everything. Jesus knows everything. I've always wondered about this one. When did Jesus know? And how much did he know? What was that? What was that old saying back in the 70s? What did he know and when did he know it? Anybody? Come on, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, what did he know and when did he know it? Watergate. Come on, don't act like you guys are younger than me. You guys not that young. I know some of you. You know? But, you know, when did Jesus know and what did he know? Jesus knows everything. Think about this. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him. Jesus, he knows. He knows everything. Look at what it says here. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, and from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. He knew that. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know the future. I've got plans for the future. Anybody? But I don't know the future. Jesus knew the future. He knew Peter was stealing. I'm not Peter, excuse me. Judas was stealing. He know, I mean, just, I'm going to hide. God's never going to see me. Ha, 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 yeah. You know? Jesus knew everything. He walked this earth and he knew everything. And Jesus is everywhere. It's my note down here. Jesus is everywhere. Wherever you go, there's no place to hide. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Jesus is everywhere. I love the, after the resurrection, it's really interesting after the resurrection. One of the guys named Thomas has a nickname. Anybody? Doubting Thomas. All right. One of the guys named Thomas is a doubter. He wasn't there after the resurrection. He didn't go to church Sunday night. All right. He didn't show up Sunday night for church. And so he wasn't there. And they go tell Thomas, guess what? Jesus came. Jesus came. And Thomas is going, I'll believe it when I see it. That's exactly what Thomas said. You know, when I put my finger in that nail hole and put my fist in that spear thrust on his side, I'll believe it. That's what he told those guys. Well, Thomas was smart enough not just miss one Sunday, okay? Just so you know, don't just miss one. He came back the next Sunday, so he made sure he didn't miss a row. All right? So he comes back that next Sunday, and they're together, and guess who shows up? Jesus shows up. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus shows up and says, Thomas, put your finger here. Now, how did he know that? Thomas, put your fist here. How did he know? Somebody didn't tell him. He knew it. He was there. When Thomas said that, Jesus was there. Jesus knew nothing. Always has. Always has. Not only does he know everything, not only is he everywhere, but he's also all-powerful. He's also all-powerful. We're going to back up now, Evie, to the Sea of Galilee. There's a nice picture of the Sea of Galilee. I can imagine, here's the story. They're sitting there. Jesus has been out ministering all day, and they're sitting along the town of Capernaum, and Jesus, you know, Peter or John or whatever. Hey, look at the beautiful set here at the Sea of Galilee. You know? They're visiting Peter's mom, just so you kind of know. Peter lived in Capernaum, and it says they were at Peter's mom's house in Capernaum. And they're sitting there that evening, and Jesus had been ministering all day. He's done miracles all day. They had brought his sick and stuff to Peter's house, mom's house. And he did all these miracles. And so it's kind of like, okay, it's time to go. So we're going to get out of here, and we're going to sail across this sea. And so Jesus sends them down to get the boat ready. I'll be down there in a minute. Comes down there, gets in the boat, and they start sailing off across the sea. Jesus had been ministering all day, goes to the back of the ship, takes a nap. Naps are okay. Listen, if Jesus can take a nap, I can take a nap, okay? I give you permission to take naps, all right? It's okay. Jesus did it, all right? He took a nap. While he's sleeping back in the back of the boat, guess what happens on the Sea of Galilee? A storm shows up, all right? Now, I want to make sure you get a picture here. You're on the Sea of Galilee, and he's with these guys named Peter, James, and John, Andrew, and there's 12 of them. Well, there's 12 of them. And that's where they fished. Just so you know, that's where Peter and James and John and Andrew, that's where they were from. That was their sea. That's where they fished. Now, they're in their boat in this water. Now, they had probably been in storms before because that's their lake and the storm. Well, all of a sudden, they're going, we're through this. I can imagine in their head. We're going to get through this. Hey, look how bad it is. We'll make it. Yeah. And the storm's bouncing around, and all of a sudden, the boat starts to sink. So they run to the back of the boat. They wake Jesus up, and they tell Jesus, Jesus, are you going to let us die? Look at what the scripture says. You got to back up on the back page, okay? Because I messed up. And they went and woke him up, saying, save us, Lord. We're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Then he rose up and rebuked the sea. Get the picture? He rose up and he rebuked the sea. And what happened? The water was calm. The water was calm. Power. Is there power there? Does God have power over nature? Can God calm the seas in your life? Can God bring peace? He calmed the sea. He made peace there. And there was a great, what it says here. And there was a great calm, and the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What sort of man is this? He's all powerful. He calmed the sea. They had been with him. He healed the lepers. The blind could see. The lame could walk. He fed thousands of people. Jesus is all powerful. He did that. So my question is he God? What sort of man is this? Can he just be a man? Or is he God? See, that's what we have to ask. This is why Jesus is so controversial today. Even today. They're afraid of Jesus because they're afraid he's God. Now I'm going to tell you, here's a little hint. I'm not afraid of Jesus. You know why? Because I know him. I have nothing to fear in Jesus. Anybody? Anybody on board with? You know, we have nothing to fear. I'm not afraid. But everybody else is afraid of him because if they admit he's God, guess what? I got to do something about my life. I don't want to admit he's God. Here's what the Jews said. Listen to what the Jews said. I like this. The leading priests and teachers of the law and the Jewish elders were also making fun of Jesus. This is when he's on the cross. And they said, he saved others. Underline that. He saved others. But he can't save himself. He says he is the king of Israel. If he's the king, let him come down now from the cross. Then we will believe in him. What I like about that passage is, guess what? They said he did the miracles. Look at what they said. He saved others. They admitted it. They knew what he did. You know, I think there's people who believe in God but admit it. Anybody? You know? They know there's a higher power, but they don't want to call it God. They know there's a spiritual being, but they don't want to call it God. That's kind of like the Jewish people there? You know, God, I want to believe in you, but I'm just not. God, I want you on my terms. Anybody? That kind of what they said there? I believe you on my terms. Here's my terms, God. Yeah, you did those miracles, but now you got to get up and walk off that cross, jump down off that cross. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Could he? Could Jesus have jumped down off that cross? Yep. He could have just climbed right on down and said, hey, in your face. Yeah. But he couldn't come down from the cross for one simple reason. He had to die for my sins. I'm having a great time in Awana. I asked the kids the other day in our class, when you get in trouble at home, do you ever get punished? So some of your parents, your kids, somebody, they do get punished. They are willing to admit it. Just so you know, your kids, somebody, they also tell me they're not perfect, so they might try to fake with you, but they don't fake with me. Yeah. Yeah, they tell me they're not, and they get punished. And I tell them, well, it's just like with God. If I mess up with God, I need to get punished, right? Isn't that the truth? But guess punishment? Jesus did. I don't have to get punished anymore. Jesus paid the price for my sin. Because he was God. He was an unblemished sacrifice for me. So I want to show you get a picture. Jesus was God. But not only was Jesus God, this is why the world has problems. Because he's also a man. He's just like you and I. He was just like you and I. I got real quick. Let me hit these really quick. Look at what it says here. And the Word became flesh. Remember what the Word is? The Word is Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. It is the glory of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus. Now that's Christmas. It's Easter, and I'm not going to talk about Christmas right now, but isn't that the Christmas story? Isn't that the one you come? For those who come twice a year, that's the Christmas one. This is the Easter one. All right? I'm not messed up, all right? You know? And so that's the Easter. This is a Christmas story. We call this the Asian. Anybody? We call Him Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see this. But He was a man. And here's why I put it this way. Jesus was born as a baby. Jesus was born as a baby. As I was writing this, here's a thought that went through my mind. Okay, some of you might get this. Some of you are going to go, what in the world is he talking about? Now I messed it all up. Okay. Scotty? What did Scotty say? Come on, you guys. Star Trek. Beam me down, Scotty. There we go. He always said beam me up. I'm going to say beam me down, all right? Jesus didn't come down as an adult. Woo, here he is. I'm God. He was born as a baby. Now, I don't like that towel. What is it? What's that comedian guy that made fun of baby Jesus, praying to baby Jesus? I'm not going to go there. You know, he came down as a baby. He was born. Now, this is important. You need to understand, this is important. You know why it's important? Jesus knows what it's like to be a child. Jesus knows what it's like to be a teenager. How many of us want to go repeat our teenage years? Anybody? Yeah. Jesus knows what it's like to be an adult. See, Jesus, he experienced life like us. You can't go to God and God say, well, God, you just don't understand. God, you just don't know what it's like. God knows. He was a man like you and I. He had the same thing and went through the same life experiences that you and I go through. We don't know what happened to his dad. I don't know if his dad died. We don't, you know, we always hear the talk about Mary. We don't know whatever happened to his dad. There's no, I haven't found anything that tell me what happened to Jesus' stepfather, as a matter of fact. We don't know. Did he die? I mean, what that must have been like to lose your father. Think about that. That Jesus was born as a baby. Look at what it says here. Luke 2:7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger. Because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus was born as a baby and grew into a man. I put it this way, and I put Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Jesus faced temptations just like we face temptations. This world offers all sorts of temptations. Power, position, prestige, money. Temptations as ever. Jesus had the same thing. Jesus got baptized. Came out of baptism, went out in the wilderness. And guess who showed up out in the wilderness? The devil. And he tempted him. Aren't you hungry, Jesus? Anybody ever get hungry? Aren't you hungry? You know, hey, here, just turn these rocks into bread. Here, just come here on top of this temple and I'll give you all of this. I'll give you this power. I'll give you this prestige. He tempted him with everything, just like we are. Jesus was tempted just like us. Look at what it says. And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he was tempted. See, here's the thing I often think about for me. Now, I can't speak for you. I face temptation, okay? And sometimes I stumble, all right? But I think about Jesus, and it's like, you know, I only made it halfway through that temptation. Jesus made it all the way past that temptation. Think about that. He was tempted. Like, look at this next scripture. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weak, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Underline that. Without sin. Jesus was sinless. He would not be that sacrifice for our sins if he was not sinless. You get that? He was that. He died on the cross. Let me tell you, the movie Passion came out, and people were worried about that being an anti-Jewish movie because the Jews crucified Jesus. Well, I got news for you. The Jews did not crucify Jesus. I did. And I got news for you. Bad news for you. You did too. Okay? Jesus died for us. He died for your sins. He died for you. know, it's not them that did it, it's us that did it. And here's something to think about that will help us, motivate me to make sure I do what right every time I sin. Guess what? That hurts him. See, he was tempted like we are. He's a human. He was just like us. Born as a baby, tempted as us. Look at this. Jesus became weary, thirsty, and hungry. Like I said, Jesus took a nap. I like that one. I'm going to remember that verse. Had a long day. I'm taking a nap. But he did. I like this. He's journeying from Nazareth area all the way down to Jerusalem. Goes through an area called Samaria where they're really not supposed to be. But he goes there. Jesus always did what he wasn't supposed to. He always shook up the religious leaders. And as he's going through there, he stopped. And here's what happened. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." He was a man. Just like he got tired. He's walking down the road and he's tired. Does God get tired? You know, God rested on the seventh day. Was God when he created? Anybody? No, just in case you're wondering. No, God does not get tired, but Jesus in a human form got tired. He rested. He was not only tired, he was thirsty. Not only was he thirsty, he ate. Look at this. Later, Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came to eat with Jesus and his disciples. He had to eat. Jesus was God, and he was a man. You see how controversial that? How do you deal with, how does the world answer this? No wonder they're afraid of Jesus. No wonder they don't want you talking about Jesus. No wonder they don't want you praying in Jesus' name. No wonder you got a separation of church and state. They're afraid that Jesus is God and man. What about you? Listen to the last one right here. Jesus experienced the full range of human emotions. Jesus faced those emotional battles. I don't know about you, but you know, life can be tough. Anybody? There's good times in life and there's hard times in life. Anybody? There's great joy in life. And there's tremendous sorrow in life. Am I right? Well, Jesus had those same emotions. He had a friend named Lazarus. That Lazarus died. They put Lazarus in the tomb. Jesus goes to the tomb. And this is one that's amazing to me. There's so much amazing in God's word to me. Jesus goes to this tomb that Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. I like what he says. He says, "Let's roll the stone away." Lazarus' sister says, "No, he stinks." That's what they said. You know, King James, he stinks. Yeah. And here Jesus walks to that tomb and he knows, again, Jesus knows, he's God, he knows everything. He's going to speak and Lazarus is going to live. He's going to die again, but he's going to live for a little while longer. And he goes to this tomb knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it says, Jesus wept, 11:35, John 11:35. You want a memory verse? I think we could all memorize that one, couldn't we? I think that might be an easy one. When I had kids, my wife always had a rule. If they did anything bad, they had to give her a memory verse. And this would always be the one they gave. Jesus wept. Yeah? Quick and easy. But it hurt. Even though he knew that Lazarus was going to come back again, even though he knew what was going to happen, he still hurt. Those emotions, it hurts. He knew that. He also knew the joy. I like this. "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." He's saying, I want you to have, I got this joy. There's joy in the Lord. This is what he's talking about. There's a joy in the Lord. There's something about being with God. There's something about being a part of what God is doing. And to me, this is what Easter is all about. And this is something for me as a pastor. I've been a Christian now since I was 17 years old. And this is a passion of mine. I think life is fun. I think life is joy. I'm enjoying life. I don't think God set up in heaven and created this beautiful garden. Anybody, you know, Garden of Eden? Anybody kind of get a picture of that beautiful garden? I don't think God set up in heaven and creates this beautiful garden. Says, "I'm going to put some people down there. I'm going to call them Adam and Eve. And I don't want them to be happy." I don't think that crossed God's mind. I think God put us down here to enjoy life. Anybody on board with that one? Say amen. I think God put us down here to enjoy. That's what he's talking about. I want you to have the joy of the Lord. I want you to experience this joy. To me, that's what Easter's about. Easter's a sad day. Jesus died on the cross, but it's a joyful day because you know what? He's alive. He lives today. I know he lives. What's that song say? Because he lives in me. He's God and he's man. He knows what my life is like. He knows where I've been. But he's walking with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's God. He's got my strength. He's going to carry me. He's going to walk with me. He's God. Life is fun. Life is a joy. I can Snapchat. Yeah. You know? But is it controversial today? Does it shake up the world today? Look at this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's about love. That's what's so controversial. See, here's the controversy. Jesus steps out of heaven into earth, born as a baby, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere God. And he comes into our world and he enters us. He works. He's weary. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He walks this earth and he lives. And then he asks us, what sort of man am I? What sort of man is he? All he's saying is, I just want you to love me because I love you first. Anybody? You know, that's all he's asking. He's not asking about some religion with the Jews and all their religiosity stuff. Not going to get involved with Rome and whose picture's on this coin and who's in authority. He's not going to get involved in any of that. He just steps into us. He says, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. It's fun. See, as a pastor, I want people to know it's fun being a Christian. Thanks. See? I Snapchat. I'm going to wait and see what it looks like later. It's good. But see, God is good. See, I want to ask you. If you were to take a Snapchat of your life, where are you today? Where are you? Is Jesus God? Is he? Then my next question, if he's God, is he God of your life? That's where the controversy comes. I want to do things my way. That's what I was as a teenager. I was doing things my way. I was having fun as a teenager. But I'm sure glad at 17 my cousins had the courage to tell me there was something different in life. I would not trade my life that I've had for anything. I've got a great life. Great wife, great kids, great grandkids. I can't wait till later this afternoon with candy. Yeah, it's fun. I'm going to ask you, do you know the joy of the Lord? That's what God wants. He wants you to know the joy. Isn't that what Jesus said? I want you to know the joy, my joy. Do you know the joy of the Lord? I pray you do. You know, I talk about an invisible line here. And you got to, you know, it's not walking out and shaking the preacher's hand, I want to accept Jesus. It's not getting baptized. Well, I was baptized when I was 2. It's not, well, I'm working as best I can. I'm trying hard not to. I'm going to tell you. Trying hard not to sin is a losing battle. You know? I know. That's not what it's about. God, I make it this way every week. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take me. It's that simple. I'm going to ask you, is Jesus a controversy for you? Can you say Jesus? Are you afraid of the political correctness? I'm afraid of the religiosity stuff that people are going to put on me. I'm going to tell you, here's my only rule. What's the Bible say? Ask me your question, I'll just ask you, what does the Bible say? What does it say? I don't have any rules. I just want to, whatever this says, I want to do. I want to challenge you to be like the centurion this morning. Listen to his words again. We had it earlier. Listen to what he says. The centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place. They were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Is Jesus, Son of God, in your heart today? Is he? I want to challenge you to walk with him. You'll find no greater joy in life than walking with a God who loves you and sent his one and only Son to die on a cross, to rise from the grave, and to dwell in your heart every day of your life. What greater joy can you experience than that? Do you know him today? Is he a controversy to you? Or is he your Lord and your Savior? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a mighty and gracious God. And I take that graciousness with tremendous care, tremendous passion. Because it is your grace that sets us free. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. I can never be good enough. Lord, I'm a failure every day. But your grace is sufficient to set us free and to set me free. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask you this morning, do you need a touch of God's grace? I don't know what's going on in your life. Would you just shoot your hand up? If you want a touch of God's grace, just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you seem to lift up hands, but that's a lifted up heart, Lord. It takes courage to throw those hands up and to say, Lord, we want to be independent. We want to take care of ourselves. But Lord, I want you to take care of these that have raised their hands. They've raised their hearts to you. Lord, I just ask you that you'll touch them. You're the all-powerful, all-knowing God. You're the all-present God. And God, you know what's going on in their lives. You know where that touch needs to take place. It may be family. It may be finances. It may be health. It may be something else, Lord. But you know the needs of each and every heart. Those are raised. I ask you to touch them. Lord, I pray also for these here that maybe there's one that needs to accept you. Maybe one that needs to cross that invisible line. That today, right where they sit, right where they're at right now, they'll just say a little prayer, Lord. God, come into my heart and take control of my life. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours. I ask you to stir their hearts. Lord, thank you for being a God, not who dwells in heaven, but a God who came to give your life to dwell in us. In Jesus' name, amen. We always give an invitation at the end of our service. Invitation's real simple. I'm just here to pray with you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what journey you're upon. I don't know where you're at. But maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line you hear me talking about. Maybe you need to cross that line right now. God, I'll come here. Just come and I'll pray with you. Maybe you just don't know how to pray. Maybe there's some other needs. Maybe there's no joy. Maybe life is just kind of crushed in on you. I'm here to pray with you. This is your time for God to speak to your heart. But I want to tell you, wherever you're at, God is sufficient. Whatever you need, God has the power. He has the strength. He has the wisdom. He's God. Do you trust him? Let's stand as we sing this song, and you come as the Spirit leads. yourself back on. Yeah, Robbie. You know, I shared the message. I want to make sure you know, you don't have to accept Christ here anytime. If this week you're going through life and it just finally hits on you, you know what, I'm just not where I need to be. I'm not who I want to be. My life's not where I really want it to be. Anytime, place, just call on him. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take it. I guarantee you what, he'll do it. Wherever you're at, anywhere. But then I'm going to ask you, come back and share that with me. Just write it on the card. We've got a little card right now. If you open your worship folder up, there's some yellow cards in there. Those are my communication cards. I want to pray for you. Our church wants to minister to you or with you. So take a few minutes to fill that out. Maybe there's a prayer need. Maybe there's a question about something I said or some way we could serve you. Then maybe you accepted Christ. Just let me know what God is doing. And you know, but next week, maybe you come back and go, you know, I prayed that prayer. I just want to know what God is up to. I want to rejoice with God and what he does in your life. So take a few minutes to fill that out. We're going to invite our ushers forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer. And then you just drop that yellow card in the offering bag with the gifts and offerings, and we'll give God the glory and the honor this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. I get the drummer intro. Woo-hoo. I like that. All right. Thanks for being here. I noticed it's spring break. It's not spring break. I'm not going to get into this controversy. It's Easter break. Come on. All right. It's Easter break. It's Christmas break. Call me whatever you want. I'm not going to be politically correct. God is good. I'm going to have a great afternoon. I'm going to go hang around my grandkids and enjoy some Easter egg and above all, enjoy some candy. And so we're going to have a great, I pray you have this great week and enjoy what God is going to do. But listen, just give God some love. He loves you, all right? Just give him a little love back. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then you guys, oh, we got another song, right? Got one more? All right, I like that. Lord, I just thank you for these they've given us this morning. I thank you that they've not given it to us, they've given it to you, Lord. I pray that through these songs and through the scriptures, Lord, that you have been exalted, that we have lifted you up, because you promised that if we lift you up, you draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, we want to walk into your presence this week. Guide and direct us, Lord. Give us a joy in the life that you have blessed us with in the midst of the heartache. There is peace because of who you are, and there is joy because of what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.